The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. Back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. Pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, on this Friday, 16th of September, 2011. It's making the rounds out there today on mainstream media was this Ford ad for Ford Motor Company. Have you seen the ads where they waylay somebody, they get them to drive their new Ford car in, and then they pop them into a press conference, and these truly are unrehearsed. Now, they're not live, obviously, because I could see myself driving up my Ford, being led into a room with a room full of reporters. Probably the first thing out of my mouth could be put on television. No, but these are real people, and they wrangle them in and do a press conference as to why you bought the vehicle. It's a pretty good ad campaign, actually. But there's something that is just, it's just rankling a lot of people. And we'll play the ad for you. But it's, they call it a Ford Drive One press conference. And this guy's name is Chris. And it's got people excited and refocused on the auto bailouts. Obama, being the lying sack of doo-doo that he really is, said that out of the $80 billion that was given to Chrysler and General Motors, we may recover all but about $14 billion of it. Actually, I think the story should be reversed. Actually, I think the American taxpayer is going to lose close to $60 billion bailing out the behemoth General Motors. And folks, I used to work for the company. I've seen it from the production floor up. It was a company that the bureaucracy itself couldn't even maintain and keep up with, let alone producing and selling cars. I mean, for as much real estate that they had, it could comprise a small country. At any rate, when we get back from the break, I want to play this ad, which has actually boosted Ford stock and their image. And if Henry Ford Senior was alive today, he would probably applaud the move from his wheelchair. We'll be right back.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkey's are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Off the website, Hot Air. Is this just a business seeing a competitive edge against two of its rivals, or a political statement meant for wider purposes? Ford has a new ad series called Press Conference, in which sales staff escort a Ford buyer into a room supposedly to finalize paperwork, but finds reporters and cameras on hand to ask why he or she bought a Ford. The response is, and if you think about it, folks, if you're there and you're finalizing the paperwork, you've already made up your mind to buy the car, so the only thing the reporters are going to get is double plus good answers. The responses are unscripted, according to U.S. News and World Report, but the decision to publish this response while the nation still debates auto bailouts might have some Obama supporters questioning the timing. most of its political ads in the so-called Drive One ads, where real drivers are thrust before cameras to explain why they picked Ford, a real Ford F-150 pickup, driver is featured. His name is Chris. After he sits down, the reporters bark, "Chris, Chris," one asks him to explain, "Why was buying an American car important to you?" Well, here's the ad.
I'm Kristen. We're going to head on into the interview.
Chris, was it buying American important to you?
I wasn't going to buy another car that was bailed out by our government. I was going to buy from a manufacturer that's standing on their own, win, lose, or draw. That's what America's about, is taking the chance to succeed and understanding when you fail that you got to pick yourself up and go back to work. Ford is that company for me.
That would make Henry Ford proud. Now, it's brilliant in terms of distancing Ford Motor from the anger taxpayers and potential buyers feel over the bailouts of Ford rivals GM and Chrysler. After all, taxpayers will end up losing about $14 billion for their trouble. Actually, a lot of these figures have been blanketed in secrecy. And what we're seeing is totals and amounts that don't quite add up. Now, at any rate, losing about $14 billion for the sake of the story, for their trouble. And a lot of investors got screwed in the politically manipulated bankruptcy proceedings for both companies. Now, any competitive edge helps, of course, and this is a natural argument. So much of that is that it's curious that Ford hasn't really pressed that point until now. But it also feels something more than just a sales pitch as well. The statement that America is about taking risk and enduring failure rather than expecting government to bail everyone out sounds more like a big thumb in the eye of Obama administrations, whose latest job bill keeps extending unemployment benefits, which continues to propose spending billions on subsidies for businesses that can't succeed on their own. Now, the headline, because this isn't a new ad, it just started capturing attention. So, at any rate, that's what they're doing with this. Now, I knew, and in this recession, folks, that's been going on now for 5 years, remember our depression only lasted 10. We still have clowns on television that are supposed to be up on financial matters, now telling people we may be going into a recession. Really? You know, is this double plus good thinking? Is this some kind of Orwellian tactic to keep pumping you with the information that, well, we may be heading into a recession. We may be. No, we've been in a recession now for 5 years, sliding into depression-like numbers. And I mean in a big way. Ford Motor, on the other hand, while GM is filing bankruptcy in 2009, while Chrysler is pulling its hair out, trying to figure out how it's going to stay afloat, for the second time, and I think in as many decades, there's Ford. Ford doesn't need any money. Why? Because Ford saw this thing coming. What did they do? They dumped their inventory. And when I say dump their inventory, they dumped it in a big way. They didn't have all these little vehicles, cars and trucks sitting around on these huge lots sitting there collecting dust, because that's money just sitting there, not doing anything. And they reduced their inventory. They reduced their liabilities. They set course to ride the storm, ride the storm out. End of story. General Motors and Chrysler, on the other hand, couldn't seem to do that. Now, Chrysler has a hard time bringing good quality product to market, maintaining its market share, and building a car that people want to buy. Every car has had its problems. Every car line, every manufacturer has had its problem cars. But Chrysler, it seems, had more than its share. Ford made some doozies every once in a while. And back in the 50s and the 60s, Ford Motor Company had its own steel plants. Well, that's a good idea to make your own steel to build your own cars so you're not running out to a supplier and paying a profit for something that you need to buy a car. Makes sense, right? The only problem was that Ford Motor Steel wasn't that great. It had a born-on date. And if you're one of these people that drove cars up north in the wintertime and there's a lot of salt on the road, guess what? Your car would literally dissolve around you. Chrysler had somewhat of a same problem. I remember my mother, God rest her soul, had one of these Dodge Dart swingers. She's driving down the expressway one day, and the car fell off its frame. Hell of an engine, though. I'm telling you, slant six with Chrysler's transmission, the thing would run forever. The only problem is that the entire car did not stay intact for the life of the drivetrain. But Ford Motor, they saw this thing coming. They did not need any bailout money. And I told people, and I have never, ever on my program, because I'm not into stocks. I'm into real stuff. Stock market's kind of an illusion. And especially during this recession slash depression, there was only one stock that I ever recommended that people buy, and that was Ford Motor. Because I knew the financial position that they were in. They were going to come back more rapidly than General Motors or Chrysler. You know, regardless of how much money that they took from the taxpayers, from the same market they're trying to sell their cars to, from the other pocket they're taking money out of their pockets. How does that work in America? You know, I mean, think about that. You know, you got one pocket full of money that you want to go buy a car from General Motors or Ford, and then there's the invisible hand in your other money pocket that they're taking money out of your pocket. Seems like that's kind of a double dip, don't you think? But Ford Motor, for some strange reason, folks, and it's not a strange reason, I think this has a lot to do with Henry Ford Sr.'s philosophy about business. Now, when Henry Ford, back in the 20s, upped the workers' daily wage to $5 a day, he didn't do that because, well, he just wanted to sleep better that night. That was a hard, cold, and fast business decision, what he made, because he wanted to make the cars available for the people that worked for the company to buy. Boy, now there's a marketing strategy. I wonder how many other countries that people build cars in other countries and they can't afford to buy the cars that they make. But Henry saw a market sitting right under his nose and he took advantage of it. By the way, it is kind of a misnomer out there that Henry Ford invented the production line. No, he actually got that idea from a furniture maker of all people. But he was the first guy on a massive scale to go in and put the assembly line in. And I've worked on assembly lines, folks. I know what it's like. And this was the day before air-conditioned plants. And if you ever spent a hot August day on a production facility in Michigan, you would know what I was talking about. One hot, stinky, sticky son of a gun. You'd literally see people walking around turning white before they fell over from dehydration. But Henry, old Henry, I'll tell you how sharp Henry Ford was. And you can go look this up. I don't know if you can still find him online or not. But Henry Ford, and this is more for the new listeners than the old, Henry Ford saw what was being set up worldwide. The strangulation from the fiat money masters. Would I refer to the international bankster gangsters? Henry owned his own newspaper, the Dearborn Independent, in Dearborn, Michigan. And in there, from the years 1920 to 1921, wrote a series of columns, editorials, of which were compiled, put into a four-volume set of books, included in the Model Ts that rolled down his assembly line. What better way to get a message to the people that were buying his cars to find out what was going on with the grand wizards of the international finance field? What he did was put that four-volume set of books in those Model Ts rolling down his assembly line, telling them about the international gangster banksters. Oh, now does it start to dawn on people why they don't make a big deal out of this, but Henry is called anti-Semitic from time to time, without really full explanation as to why that statement is. Because Henry, back in 1920, realized what the Jewish international bankster gangsters were setting up. This is subject matter that they don't talk about. They might allude to it, but they don't want to give you any detail. Because Henry, along with his friends Thomas Edison, Harvey Firestone, Burroughs, the naturalist, and a host of other manufacturing friends in the country knew exactly what was going on just years after they passed the Federal Reserve Banking Emergency Act in this country in 1913.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
GM still hopeful of fully paying back the government. Well, don't bet on it. Chris in California. Hello, Chris. Chris? Chris?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hello. You weren't there a second ago. You are now, though.
Oh, hi, thanks.
How you doing? How you doing, Chris?
You're patient, man. Pretty well, thank you. How are you doing?
It actually rained in Texas here today.
Does anybody really ask you how you are?
Only as kind of like a social, you know, like anybody else.
Yeah, we're living in a day where who cares, you know, it's kind of... Anyway, John, thanks for the programming. What a stalwart, what a wonderful format you have, and what great guests, and knowledgeable hosts that you retain on your network, like one in a million. I tell people to start with Alex Jones, and when he blows them out of the water, let's go get a little bit more mature here. Let's advance to the Republic.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because last night I was channel surfing looking for some news stories that I wanted to do follow-ups after the end of day, see if they morphed any. And Jay Leno is on. And who does he have on? Charlie Sheen.
I got a clip of that.
Yeah, and I'm telling you what, Charlie looks good. He still looks a little dazed from all the drug use and the whoring that he was doing there for, I don't know, 30 years. But I thought, you know, when the guy imploded, Two and a Half Men blew that thing off, which was paying him millions of dollars a year, and then goes and destroys himself on Alex Jones's show. I thought, you know what? Somehow that was just apropos.
Yeah.
Somehow that just, you know, but I refer, and God love Alex Jones. He's got a lot of fans out there. I call him the alarm clock. Once he just rattles you out of your sleep and you don't know where you are and you're getting barraged and you're getting beat up by a constant flow of information and we go all over the board and...
Yes. Enter Republic.
There you go, brother. There you go.
John, I saw this. I worked the general... In my younger days, I worked the General Motors line in Van Nuys, California. And I test drove cars for Delco Moran, the brake, asbestos brake.
You're fuzzing out on your phone there, pal.
Late 70s, worked for General Motors. And I think the main thing is the barometer of any economy or worker is, can the worker afford the product he's putting out?
Yeah, exactly.
And if not, people don't realize this is a great barometer. And, they don't, so they go ahead and fluctuate the dollar and the dollar's fiat. And you mentioned, who did you mention is making big dollars? Sheen? So what? Big fiat, if he doesn't know what to do with it,
yeah,
and put it, you know, in a place where it can serve and retain its value, enter Robbie and Jeff. You know, I mean, people, if you don't get something that's going to hold on, and don't be fooled by this little blip in the negative, you know, and look how it just roars back. It's just the real deal, and stuck with fiat, nah, no thanks.
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Chris. The solution to this problem is staring everybody right in the face. You know, they're talking about right now what they've been talking about. George Bush, as a matter of fact, George W., when he took the White House, won the election, his first term, out of the clear blue sky without any prompting for anybody, I think it was in the first week of his administration, what he said was, you know, I want to do something about the income tax. You know, I want to do a flat tax or a fair tax or whatever he said. And then it up and disappeared. And I found this ironic because for years and years and years, they were talking about revamping the tax system. The IRS can't track and trace everybody. I think 60% of the people are not in this country right now, not paying the IRS. So they've got all these employees sitting around chasing those that they can chase down and get into court for supposedly failing to pay income taxes or something, you're running afoul of the IRS. At any rate, looks like that's what they're going to do. They're going to go to a fair or flat tax based on consumption. And they're actually going to make more money off of this. Now, is that an apportioned, fair, and constitutional tax? Well, we'll see. But at least they're starting to smarten up that they, with even with their bureaucracy, with their hordes of people and the power that the IRS wields, they're losing, and they know it. So they're going to come up with a new system here. Hey, Chris, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I want to get around to the United States Post Office since we're talking about a little bit of the craziness the government keeps wanting to do here. Nick Bunkley, for the Times, wrote, GM still hopeful of fully paying back the government. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. The chief executive of General Motors said on Tuesday that he hoped that the federal government would be able to sell its stake in the automaker soon and expressed concern about the country's economic recovery. Well, guess how many shares the United States government, with its partnership with GM, how many shares they're actually holding? It'll astound you. And I'll tell you what those figures are when we come back from break. 800-313-9443. Open phone Friday today, so take advantage of it. Any subject, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time, money, education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Well, I hope you don't work for the U.S. Post Office, folks. That story coming up. Back to GM here. The executive, Daniel F. Akerson, said that GM was working to maximize its payback to taxpayers, but the government did not make a bad investment, even if it did not recover the full amount given to the company. Given? Really? GM has ownership by way of federal government by about a third of the company, and that represents over 500 million shares. This is what the government's holding right now. And we're not going to get that money back. Not all of it, anyhow. They'll make some grand gestures, and they'll throw a few billion here and a few billion there, but they're not going to pay back all the money. At some level, the government's got to decide, are they an investor, or are they trying to save the industry? Mr. Akerson told reporters ahead of GM's first annual stockholder meeting since 2009, government finance bankruptcy. A report last week by the White House National Economic Council concluded that the government would probably have to write off about $14 billion of the $80 billion spent rescuing the auto industry by the Bush and Obama administrations. Mr. Akerson said that GM liquidation would have saddled taxpayers with more than $17 billion in pension liabilities. GM has cut its pension shortfall in half since 2009, adding that he wanted the plan to be fully financed during the tenure as chief executive. Because most of the $50 billion that GM received was converted to equity stake held by the Treasury Department, Ackerson said GM had technically repaid its debt to the government. Yeah, sure it has. Whoa, that what a neat accounting trick. GM is still hopeful of paying back government, supposedly. And executives were doing our level best to help taxpayers recoup the remaining amount. The Treasury, which still owns 26% of GM, and that is wrong, it's over a third of it. Shares of GM, and of course, if you'll get partial truth from the New York Times, but you won't get total truth from the New York Times. Shares of GM rose about 22 cents on Tuesday to $28.78, compared with the initial public offering price of $33 in November. To break even, the Treasury needs to sell its remaining shares at an average price of about $53. You going to run out and buy GM stock at 53? I don't think so. The Treasury is expected to begin selling more of its GM stake as soon as August. Really? Well, that's come and gone. I guess they didn't make it. The stockholders at the GM stockholders meeting held in Detroit for the first time since 1990 was sparsely attended and contained none of the tension that has been common before its bankruptcy. The company has posted five consecutive quarterly profits, earning $4.7 billion last year. Ackerson opened up the meeting by contrasting GM's progress since bankruptcy with its bleak outlook before that. He said that General Motors almost made history by not making any more future histories. And this is the guy that's the chief executive. Well, thank you for that Orwellian doublespeak. They shouldn't have bailed it out in the first place, nor should they have bailed out the banks. We are on the hook for that. Period. Now, how is that possible that a government arranges loans to private businesses and then it turns around and makes you the surety for that bailout? How does that work? I'll tell you who might be buying into General Motors with all those shares out there at that ridiculous price. Well, obviously, somebody that might want to take control of maybe a car market in this country. Maybe the red Chinese. Something to watch. We do know that there is, I think, about 97 or 98 abandoned facilities by General Motors now, and they've been trying to sell them to the Chinese. But if I was a red Chinese guy, why would I want to buy a building with nothing in it or something that hasn't been functioning? I want to buy into something that's producing something right now because you're still forecasting future earnings. You're still making a bet that somehow that you could make some sort of winged and lipsticked pig fly. So what I would do if there was over 33% of a company available, over 500 million shares, I'd just move in and buy up those existing shares. I don't want to buy into anything that GM has cast off. I want to get close to the red meat as I can possibly get. So that may be something to watch in the future. Now, I hope you people don't work for the post office. The U.S. Postal Service, burdened with huge financial losses, said yesterday that it was facing a new reality that would include shutting a slew of processing facilities, changing service standards for first-class mail, and cutting up to 35,000 positions. The move will mean first-class mail will no longer reach most customers the day after it was dropped in the mailbox. And I'm quoting Postmaster General Patrick Donahue here. He said, "We are forced to face a new reality today. First-class mail supports the organization and drives network requirements. With a dramatic decline in mail volume and the resulting excess capacity, maintaining a vast national infrastructure is no longer realistic. The Postal Service said the moves are designed to save about $3 billion a year. Oh, well, why didn't they just do it the old-fashioned way? Just raise the postal rates again. What the hell? Yeah, it's only going to cost you $1.298 to do a first-class mailing today. The Postal Service said mail volume has dropped by 43 billion pieces over the past 5 years and is continuing to fall. It said its processing system was designed to deliver mail within 1 to 3 day period. That period will be stretched to 2 to 3 days with the current changes that include studying almost 250 processing facilities for consolidation and slashing mail processing equipment by as much as 50%. The Postal Service funds itself through the sale of postage and other services and does not rely on taxpayer money to fund its operations. Well, who knows what the next bailout may be? Maybe it will be the post office. Aren't we on a mission here to save jobs? That's what I thought we were doing here. That's what I thought Barack Obama wanted to do. 800-313-9443. Is everybody asleep today? Is everybody out of town? You want to talk about something that I'm not talking about? You got a call to bring it up. Otherwise, I'll just play music for the rest of the day and take a 3 day weekend. No, I'm already here. Well, going into the Obama administration, you know, there's some strange things happening there. You know, he's all about these jobs. He says he wants almost $500 billion here to go out there and create more jobs. Well, even the Washington Post has reported on this. Man, why doesn't the government just mail everybody a damn check? I'm serious. Give them a hiatus here from paying the IRS anything. Any back taxes you may owe, any current taxes you may owe, okay. The IRS is going to shut down. We'll put the federal employees there on furlough. Give them some welfare and some food stamps and tell them, hey, good luck. Go try to survive like everybody else in America. And just send me a damn check. You want to spur consumer growth? Just send me a check, man. I can see people. Obama bought me a new car. Yeah. Well, Washington Post story says Obama green jobs. I am almost not believing this, but the green jobs that he's creating, they cost about $5 million a piece. Jeez. The Washington Post might be a day late and $38 billion short, but it's being honest about Barack Obama's failed green jobs program. According to the Post, the $38.6 billion loan guarantee program has created just 3,545 new permanent jobs after giving out almost half of the allocated amount. Now, for those not doing the math, that means more than $5 million a job. You know, what could I have done if Obama sent me a check for, say, $500,000? Man, that would be put back in circulation so fast, it'd even make that dolt's head spin. The Post outlined Obama administration promises to create or save 65,000 jobs in the green jobs category. What it left out was that while campaigning, Obama promised to create 5 million green jobs. He's only about 4,996,455 jobs short. The green jobs program has come under scrutiny following the collapse of the Solyndra solar panel maker. Oh, that's right. Whose closure would leave taxpayers on the hook for as much as $527 million. Now, remember what I said. When all of this handing out of the money and trying to pump money into the economy and doing QE1 and QE2 and, well, his proposal of he wants $500 billion to try to spur job growth in the country. It ain't going to work. It is not going to work. okay? It's just, this is not what free enterprise is. You know, and what I said was, let's take advantage of the stuff that's out there rather than trying to reinvent an economy off of how we used to do things by, you know, coal and oil and grease and hard work and all that stuff. Oh, it's the new green technology. Right in the middle of a damn recession slash depression, we want to switch everything up. No, no, no. What this economy needs is the mostest for the leastest, okay? Doesn't need any brand new anything right now. And what it needs is some serious thought of what fuels this whole damn thing. Oh, gosh, here he goes again. He's going to go back into the funny money thing. No, I'm going to go to the telephones. Mark in Texas. Hello, Mark.
Afternoon, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, the thing with General Motors, as far as a PR standpoint, I don't think they did themselves any favors by saying that they wouldn't warranty any of the cars that they sold during their restructuring of the company.
Well, and you know what? I mean, people, Saturn, I mean, there's a car company out from under the aegis of General Motors that's just no more. And I was getting calls. People were calling the 800 number and using the area code down here, and I'm getting calls for people with Saturns that wanted to buy parts. And you know what I should have done? I should have went out there to some grand bankruptcy sale, bought up a bunch of parts, got into the part business for Saturn, because I was sure getting a lot of calls at home for it.
There you go.
But, you know, hey, they had to streamline a little bit here. They had to drop car lines. They dropped Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Saturn, so they can concentrate. And I got to tell you something. Now, give the devil his due. Have you seen the new Buick LaCrosses?
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
Yeah, they are. And, gee, where do the styling tips and some of the engineering come from? Oh, that's right, from their Japanese counterparts. Duh.
Well, you know, something about the Chinese, though, the way I've started to look at this is, you know, like you can have a brick-and-mortar bookstore, but you can have a bookstore on the Internet. It almost seems like that we're in the category of brick and mortar, whether it's cars or anything else here in the States. And these other countries that are producing all these items, whether it's toasters to titanium nitrate tanks, I don't care, they're in the Internet business because of the less amount of overhead that they have to entail.
Well, and it was the brick and mortar argument that's why the politicians wanted to be able to go in and tax Internet purchases, because the argument was, well, that's unfair competition for somebody that has a bricks and mortar outlet that they've got to pay for the heating and air conditioning and, you know, the water and the electricity and all that other stuff. Whereas the competitive advantage, if you run an online store, well, guess what? It's a heck of a lot cheaper to do.
And on a worldwide basis, wouldn't the same scenario fit with the term tariffs?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think it would. You see how this all works together.
Mm.
Yeah.
So let me understand this, Mark. You're suggesting that taxes will be put on products sold over the Internet. Is this U.S. produced?
The reason for the Internet tax, of course, was the state boundaries from what I could gather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were having trouble with the interstate. And they were screaming because, you know, they weren't getting their local tax base funded because people were ordering over the Internet. With inside the United States, mind you. But it's the same thing if you expand the reasoning to include the whole world. So it's the same ball game. It's just on a grander scale.
Hmm.
The same ball game.
Hmm. I had not considered that.
I don't know what they're going to do, but let's talk about old Governor Perry for a second, if you got a jiffy.
Oh, gosh, I just had lunch. You're going to make me
throw it. I know, but this is pretty good. You know, Bachman and Perry, they're going out. It's a slugfest. I love the theater of it. I don't really take it verbatim as legitimate, but I enjoy the give and take. And, you know, Perry's coming out with a Gardasil, and she's throwing punches, and he's throwing punches. Well, the other day at the when they were having their debates, he said that he was offended that she would even begin to suggest that he could be bought off with measly $5,000. Don't you know he gets millions in campaign contributions?
Yeah, I was just I said that on the program yesterday. You know, it sounded like he was indignant that he could be bought off so cheaply. Well, he wasn't. That $5,000 figure, I don't know where that came from, but that is not the campaign contributions. Now, I don't want to accuse Rick Perry of doing any backroom deals or
getting
kickbacks from Merck, but hey, you know, one day some offshore account someplace in Sweden or some offshore.
Cetra, maybe in Spain.
Maybe there's $500,000 or $1 million sitting in some account out there because he got the lobbyists to hammer the state legislature over it. When that didn't work, he just went out and did it by executive order.
Real quick, I wish Bobman would have said, well, now, Governor Perry, that you've established for the world just exactly what you are, I guess the only thing left for the world to do is negotiate an acceptable price.
Well, hang on a second, Mark. Hang on.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Mark, that reminds me of the old joke about the guy, Mr. Moneybags, half drunk in a bar. A good-looking woman comes in, sits down. Now, she's not a professional, but he engages her in conversation. He said, you know, he said, would you sleep with me for $1 million? And she thought about it for a second and said, do you have the money? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll do it for $1 million. Well, would you do it for $500,000? She had to think a little bit longer and, $500,000, that's a lot of money. Yeah, I'd do it for $500,000. Well, would you do it for $100? She said, what do you think I am? He says, I know what you are. He said, we're just negotiating price.
Political prostitution. It fits, don't it?
It does. And Perry was upset. I think he was more upset that the idea that he could be bought off for $5,000,
pretty amazing stuff, isn't it?
It is. It truly is. What the media is not touching, and what the real bombshell about Ricky Perry is this Trans-Texas Corridor deal. You know, the foreign trade zones, of which Texas has 32 of them.
We're kicking.
Governor allowing the Red Chinese to come in and buy, 600,000 acres to develop shale oil processes? I mean, what they're doing, Mark, is building the entire foreign trade zone, and then they're going to demonstrate that they need transportation routes in order to get this thing going.
I think you're right.
You know, that's the bombshell. But see, they can't report on that because... Well, the media has just never talked about anything like that. They have not talked about the globalization of America in terms that you and I would understand and appreciate.
I actually did hear a snippet on the last debates where they actually did mention foreign trade zones. Huh. But do you think they delved into it to any extent at all? Oh, no, we don't want to talk. It was just a quick little run it past you. Well, nothing to see here. Move on.
Well, and you know what? And this is what I wish they'd do without these. And I don't know what these creatures are anymore. I guess you can call them liberal or you call them stupid or call them just paid whores for the corporate news agencies.
Prostitutes.
Or whose real job is to keep the real pertinent facts away from people so they can't draw the line from A to B to C. What I wish they would do is just allow the audience, unscripted, you know, let's not, you know, present the questions by way of cards here. But in that allotted time, clear these idiots out of the way and just let the people that are in participation of those debates ask the questions.
Yeah, because we can't get a really good question. I mean, I've been watching debates since before Reagan. You can't get a good question really asked. Every once in a while, they'll try and sneak one in. But here we go again. They usually only will address it to maybe one or two of the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let the others off the hook, and they'll get a free ride.
Sure, sure.
It happens all the time. It's very scripted, very pomp and circumstance. I want knockdown dragouts on this stuff. We need to get, I don't know who should ask the questions. I guess maybe we ought to have our own debates.
Well, but
because, I mean,
the problem is you'd be debating amongst yourselves. Do you think, look, haven't we learned the lessons of the Democrats trying to shove the Obamacare thing down people's throats? Remember how those town hall meetings worked out for the Democrats?
Oh, that was fun.
They were glad they got out of town with their with everything still connected.
Hey, wait till they have their town meetings with foreign trade zones. This is going to be delicious.
Oh, I'm telling you. Hey, thanks for your call, Mark.
See you later, John.
All right. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up in just about a minute and a half. For all you people out there, all we needed was a little bit of rain. We went out and spent all this money on picking up Dallas-Fort Worth area. Well, it's a.m., and the ground needs to be a little bit wet. Guess what? It rained today, and I'm driving around Round Rock, Texas here, just enjoying the hell out of Republic Broadcasting Network on KHFX. 10:40 a.m., or 11:40 a.m. I moved it down the dial. Shame on me. 11:40 a.m. on your radio dial. I'm loving it.